of the Mad Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen, or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, and welcome to another exciting show of Mad Scientists Exposed. And the guest that I had scheduled for today had to bow out. He's got some health issues or family something going on. That's Christopher Wyatt. He's on a mission creating a documentary, and what he's trying to do is actually come down with measles, chickenpox, or mumps, any of those big-name vaccine diseases. I think he's got something to show the world about. Maybe it's nutrition or the problems with vaccines. I'm not sure what the purpose of his mission is, and so as soon as I get him on here, I'll get to interview him. So I invited my other friend, Ed August, who's a frequent caller to this show, because he has so many varied interests and very educated man with a lot to offer us and ways of knowledge and stuff. And so I'm hoping he'll be back in the future with more about his books and stuff. Anyway, I realize now that I called the wrong number to call into his show or to the show. The way it's scheduled here, we have three-hour blocks, and we can divvy them up or not. And so the hour and a half prior to my, even though I had to schedule the whole 3 hours for myself, I don't actually come on until an hour and a half into it. So for the time being, we filled some airtime with some new material, and there's the system here gives us two different numbers, and I have the wrong one on speed dial in my phone, because when I give you the correct number and you call in, if you dial one, then I see a little notice come up that I'm supposed to answer the phone here and put you on the air. And that number is, and this is the same for all Freedomizer hosts, 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208. And I called the wrong number that shows up in another part of the host interface here, and that's the number ending at 3704. And then when I press 1, it doesn't give the little notice. So it didn't know to actually answer my call. So except for one time near the end where I had stepped away from my keyboard and I couldn't time. But he has so much material. He has stacks and stacks. And I know I razz him about, you know, he's got so many books. Like, oh, you don't want to go to another yard sale and inquire more? Because he's got the eye. He's got the eye for the books. There are people that do book hunting, and they go through with their little scan apps, and they'll zap in the ISBN number, and they'll get a number right away off of Amazon. Do they want to buy it or don't they want to buy it? But that's all he does. He'll buy books that are so old they don't have ISBN numbers, and those are actually where the value is. And, you know, the first edition Huck Finns and whatever he finds, you know, first edition small presses, university presses, things like that, he can spot them. And he'll buy something for a buck, and he'll come home, it'll be worth $25, it'll be worth $50, it'll be worth $100, $200. I've seen him do it. And it's just, he's got quite a talent for spotting this. And not all knowledge is obsolete, and not all knowledge is online. And so it's quite exciting to see him do it, but I have to give him a little bit of urge to get some of them listed, because there's some wonderful antique book listing sites. He could have a wonderful retirement if he sold one once in a while. He wouldn't even miss it. He's got the pile of the books. Anyway, so
thank you for verifying all that stuff. Thank you very much.
That I razz you about collecting more books. You've got the eye for it. It's just, you know, listen.
I know, but just kind of verifying that I'm doing it and stuff. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so my other guest couldn't make it today, and we hope to get him in the future. I keep pushing out that episode, changing the schedule on it out to the following week. But anyway, what's been going on here in Arizona, we had just over a week ago on the 10th, on Monday the 10th, we had more UFOs over, you've all heard of the Phoenix Lights. Well, these turned up a little bit west of Phoenix, kind of like halfway to the California border, between Parker and what was the other one? I got to look at the map here. I mapped it out. Between Parker and Quartzsite, Arizona. And I've got the map on the site, madscientist.exposed, and I've got the video that talks about it. There's a few, I've always wanted to know, well, what are these UFO things anyway? I've always had an interest in space and science, and I was a Star Trek baby. And, when they came out with Star Wars and all there was about space was wars, I'm like, bleh, bleh, I don't want wars, I want science, So there's a few of these that I follow. But one in particular is my favorite, is Secure Team 10. And people send him videos, and this guy recorded these UFOs over Arizona just last week. And so very frequently, you'll see three lights in a triangular formation. And there's stuff going on here, and I know we've talked about some UFOs in the past on the show, and we've talked about the supposed government scheming to create a hoax, an alien attack on the Earth, as a false flag, as governments are wont to do, attack somebody and blame it on somebody else, and it's really been building up. It's been building up, and NASA has had two recent big news conferences about habitable places in space there. About a month and a half, 2 months ago, they talked about these seven Earth-like planets, they call them, in the TRAPPIST-1 system, which was, I think it's about, I forget, was it 4 light years away or 40 light years away? I forget how far away they are. But I've embedded the news conference in my page here at madscientist.expo, so you can pick it up and watch it for yourself. And they talk about Earth-like planets, and what they mean by that is Earth-sized planets. They're actually nothing like Earth at all. The star that they orbit is much smaller than our own sun. We have, I guess, what's known as a yellow dwarf, kind of a medium-sized star. What those at the TRAPPIST-1 system orbit are is what's called a red dwarf. And they are so close that all, like the first three or all seven of them, a whole lot of them, they are so close to that star, even though it's smaller than ours, they're like, they're inside what would be Mercury's orbit for us. But even so, that star is so small and so cool that, they could have reasonable temperatures, but they are tidal locked. And what tidal locked means is the tidal forces on the smaller bodies of the larger body are so great that each of those planets face towards their star at all times. So one side is a perpetual day and the other side is a perpetual night. Well, to me, that's not habitable. Every time its day is as long as its year. And it doesn't really even have a day because there's no night and there's no day. Just one side is always day and the other side is always night. And all these planets are like that. But they're telling them they're Earth-like, and they're in the habitable zone, and maybe they mean that temperature-wise. They kind of pretended not to know what was in the atmospheres, that I watch too many of these science channels where they'll actually read the data off of government science websites. There's the different telescopes, the Hubble telescope, and the new one that's going to come online next year is the James Webb telescope. And the way to identify the chemicals on a planet or on a star is spectroscopy, and you have the solar or the light spectrum. If the planet has those chemicals, it will either absorb light at certain frequencies, and so your spectrum looks like it has lines in it. And if it's absorbing the light, those lines are black. And if it's shining that light of its own power, of its own burning, those lines are bright. brighter than the surrounding spectrum. Whether they're absorbing or radiating, you know if those planets have an atmosphere or not. But they're saying, oh, we don't know yet if they have an atmosphere or if they're putting out spectrum signatures of gases of industry, that maybe there's civilizations there, or maybe just plant life, or maybe just animal life. You know, they're kind of like hedging their bets. And the thing about that that first NASA conference, I guess it was, I don't know, was it January? They were taking questions from the audience of reporters, and they were taking questions from Reddit, and they were having us what they called an Ask Us Anything. You know, ask, what is it, AS, what are they? I forget the initials for it, but it was an Ask Us Anything session. And so one of the people at whose question bubbled to the top was a website called Collective Evolution. And I've their site a few times, and they have some really good stuff there. And their question was, and a lot of people voted it up, was what about this former Canadian Defense Minister, Paul Heller, who has talked about aliens and the different species of aliens, and what does NASA have to say about him? He was actually the Canadian Defense Minister. And not only did they not read that question on that press conference, but Reddit banned him for life for asking that question. He's not allowed on Reddit anymore. He has no more account on Reddit. They deleted his entire account. Like, oh my gosh, why can't they just, they lead the horses to water, but then they don't let them drink? I mean, because the whole thing about calling these planets Earth-like was to lead us to the idea that there's life out there besides on Earth. And, you know, it's a big universe. And the odds are really likely, I think, that there is life outside the Earth. But, if they've discovered it, they're not telling us. Because there's a whole story. There's a whole backstory here. And there's besides, so these two NASA videos. Oh, the other NASA video was just this past week. NASA reveals new discoveries on oceans beyond Earth during science briefing, and I've got it embedded on my site also. And that's talking about the moon of Saturn named Enceladus and the moon of Jupiter named Europa. Both of those are frozen water planets, water moons, and with frozen ice crusts over them. And both of those ice crusts are they're steaming through the cracks. You know, we see the water vapor coming out, the gases coming out. We have now flown probes through both of them and identified that they're organic type chemicals because these things, besides being so far from the sun, that they're really not heated very well from the sun, so their crusts are frozen. But they have volcanic action underneath their oceans, in the rocky core of their bodies, because they're so close to these large planets, Saturn and Jupiter, that they also have this tidal lock going on, and they have this, these gravitational pulls as they rotate around their, or as they orbit their planets, that it's causing all this flexing and seismic activity underneath the surfaces. So they're actually warm. And so what NASA made a big deal about, and they showed us pictures of similar type vents on the ocean floors of the Earth, where we have microbes and even small moving creatures that live on the far bottom of the Earth's oceans away from any sunlight. And that's kind of amazing to have life on Earth where there is no sunlight at all. And, they had pictures of it, which, of course, they had to light in order to show it to us. But it looked like, a little microbe crust on there looked like little shrimps, eating the microbes on the surface of these things. And, the hint was that maybe there's little shrimps on the bottom of the oceans of Europa and Enceladus. If there's little moving shrimps, then they have little nervous systems. Where there's little nervous systems, intelligent life can develop. So there are, a lot of these UFO hunters out there are saying a lot of these UFOs and these aliens, that people are encountering come from inside our solar system. There's a lot bigger story going on here. There's another guy that I follow called Stephen Greer, and he's been collecting government whistleblowers for like 20 years now in documents that these whistleblowers come out with, because the backstory is that when we started setting off atomic bombs in the 40s, we got the attention of real aliens out there, and they came looking around. And so we shot a few of them down. We collected their crafts, and we reverse engineered it. And our military has had these secret technologies since the 50s, technologies to fly without wings, you know, anti-gravity. And these technologies, if any of you have been familiar with Tesla and what he called free energy, free in the sense that you can't meter it. Nobody can bill you for it, but it actually comes, the energy actually comes from somewhere, the heat of the universe or magnetic fields around various planets and stars and galaxies all have their own magnetic fields, and you can pull energy out of that. And so this guy, Stephen Greer, he's got a channel called Serious Disclosure. He's got a website called SeriousDisclosure.com, and he's got he's already done one documentary on these things and on his whistleblowers from these government people. And what is the purpose of keeping all this stuff secret? Well, it's to weaponize it. And the they've been slowly escalating the wars through the years. You know, first certainly since the Fed and income tax were implemented in 1913. Well, the Fed has a way of manipulating money so that it can start wars and then profit from both sides of the war. The Fed is about profit, profit, profit. It's a privately owned corporation that managed to twist our government's arm for a contract. It's actually, if you go back over history, in the American Revolution wasn't so much about the tax, but for paying for tea. But it was about the money we were required to use to pay for that tea. And that was a predecessor of the Fed. It was the Bank of England, and their predecessor, was the way the money was structured. It was foreign money. It wasn't American money. And that's really what the war was about, and not about the, paying it with actual genuine money that the colonies were printing. They had asked Benjamin Franklin, who was spending time over in England after or before the Revolutionary War. And they said, well, how are these colonies so profitable or so prosperous? You know, we're not seeing much of a piece of that. He goes, well, they print their own colonial script and they pay each other. And the colonies take care of that. And they have industry and jobs and they build up their economy, and they're building up the comfort of their lives in their own environment there. And the Bank of England wouldn't have it. So they twisted King George's arm and said, you can't let them use their own money. They have to use the Bank of England money. And so that's really what that war was about. And, you know, after that war was over, then they made a couple more tries. There was, that was what Andrew Jackson was known for, was subduing the fiat money. Yeah, the fiat money, they were the British Bank, and then there was American versions of it. And he managed to actually put it down in like the 1820s, I think. And, Trump knows all this history. And if you want to learn this history yourself, there's quite a bit of detail. It's The Money Masters. And The Money Masters is by Bill Still, and he's just a wonderful journalist to follow. The Money Masters itself was made in 1996, but it's every bit as relevant today as it was back then. So this all ties together, this and the UFOs and everything else, you know, so you follow me here. So, of course, that's why Obama had to take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill, too, you know, it was to try to hide or just smother the memory of Andrew Jackson. Well, Trump comes in and he's hanging a big portrait of Jackson on the Oval Office wall. He knows what he's about. And he's about prosperity, and you can't have prosperity when you have a rigged system. You know, the Fed, they keep pumping money into the system. They boom and bust the economy in order to profit at both ends. They boom the economy. They print the money out of nothing. No gold backing or nothing. They print the money out of nothing, but they don't print the money that you have to pay the interest on it with. So it's designed to eventually collapse. It's a big pyramid scheme, our money system. And, excuse me, it's designed to, you know, they boom the economy to get you know, they give easy credit and then they suck it all back in. No credit, no, you know, no loans. And the economy collapses, people default on their loans, and then they get what they really want, and that's the equity in your house. That's the equity in your business. You know, they own your house and they own your business, and you're left destitute on the street. And they've acquired your actual real wealth. And that's the scheme and how it works. And so Trump's against that. It's just a miracle that he has lived this long, because these are big money interests that want to control the world this way and just continually boom and bust the economy. Well, if you boom and bust the economy that much, eventually you have a population that's entirely poverty, entirely poor, and then you get these power-hungry bastards in there. Sorry for the language, but they start thinking, well, the economy doesn't serve the people. The people serve the economy, and we don't need them anymore because we have robots, and we're just going to start executing people or depopulating the world. And if you'll notice, there's this big agenda now coming down from the UN and the pharmaceutical industry and the fake Western medicine that we have. It's totally fake medicine. You know, you go in and, you know, you have something wrong. You want to solve it, you know, some aches and pains or whatever, and they don't help you. They give you something to mask the symptoms, but nothing ever, ever, ever to cure it. You're not allowed to use the word cure. You know, I guess walnuts are known for, I forget what, if it's cholesterol or what it is. And the FDA went after the walnut industry. They were not allowed to put that on their bags, on their packaging, that walnuts have this health benefit or that health benefit. And otherwise, it'd be regulated as a drug. It just goes on and on. And so now that we have the escalating vaccine mandate, and they're not just going after babies, and they have this this new 21st Century Cures Act is what they called it, and they're just implementing the structure for forcing mandated vaccines. What we've got with Trump now, if he manages to live 4 years, if he manages to live 8 years, that's the only reprieve we have. We're never going to have another honest election unless Trump manages to clean it up. And I don't know if he'll get that far as to clean it up, because we were supposed to have Hillary this time, and we were supposed to all bow down to the New World Order. That was going to be it. She was signing our sovereignty away. That was the point of the TPP. And so why are these people constructing this world system where they want to depopulate the planet, they want to have perpetual wars, they want to kill babies off with vaccines? And I have met hundreds of people now in social media whose babies have been killed by vaccines. That is the purpose of vaccines, is to depopulate the planet. And Bill Gates, who's with his Gates Foundation, you know, and he's really tightly wound with the World Health Organization. They both declare that they want to depopulate Africa with contraceptive vaccines. Well, we got wise to that term, so now they're calling them, what are they calling them? You know, they changed the name of it, but what it is it's, you know, shots to make people sterile in Africa. And they've already done it with the DTaP in Kenya. They, you know, the Christian Catholic doctors realized something was wrong, because they had such a much more aggressive vaccine schedule for women of childbearing age than they had for men and children in that country. And so they surreptitiously tested them, and there were the ingredients to make women allergic to their own pregnancies, so that they would have perpetual miscarriages. And just the horror of it all, and why. So now they're preparing us with these you know, leading us to the planet so that, you know, we're now allowed to think that maybe there's life out there. We're not allowed to ask them. They're going to drip feed us. But back in the 40s, though, our own dark elves have acquired these technologies by stealing them. There's a combination of some aliens have willingly explained to our scientists the physics behind it and the anti-gravity stuff. There are people out there translating crop circles and indicating that a lot of these have to do with physics that's way beyond the physics that our own physicists are prepared to publish. Whether they understand it or not, I don't know. There might be some out there who understand it. But going on, I hate to skip so many steps, but there's a wonderful video called The Cosmic False Flag by Stephen Greer. And he, you know, he's, I think I mentioned him. He's got all the documents you can download from seriousdisclosure.org. And he's got another website now, another movie coming out, another documentary called Unacknowledged. And it's about all these unacknowledged dark ops that have all these technologies. The point is to weaponize it. You know, we escalate up the wars until we have, you know, we were supposed to have a war with Russia, if you didn't notice in the last couple months. And Putin wouldn't play. He, you know, Obama sent home all the diplomats, and that's like the last step before grand war. And Putin says, I'm not playing. Your diplomats can stay here. They're fine. You know, and then there was all this, you know, as soon as Trump won, it was, oh, my gosh, you know, he's an enemy. He's colluding with the Russians, which he wasn't doing any such thing. You know, none of that came out. They didn't even suggest it, you know, until the election was over. So who are they kidding? You know, anyway, he cracked a joke once about, Russians, if you have Hillary's email, send them back. You know, well, that was sarcasm. You know, they turn everything that's sarcasm into they take it as real in order to sell some devious plot. But what does Stephen Greer does, he puts on these seminars where he teaches meditation. Apparently the instruments that the real aliens use in their crafts, they can read thought waves, which we can do some of that now. Last week we talked about, you know, the guy with the probes in his brain that were feeding to a robot arm, or, you know, robot support for his paralyzed arm, so now he can feed himself. The very, very beginning of being able to read brain waves. And these, the real aliens out there, if you're in a correct meditative state, you can communicate with them. And I don't know how to do it. This guy does seminars on it. He's going to do a seminar in May in Arizona. And I have a friend that lives right near the resort where they're going to be holding this. So we're going to sit out on his back porch with binoculars and watch for the UFOs to come to this guy and see what happens. You know, I'll see what pictures we can take and all this stuff. But I've been waiting for months now to find out when his new documentary, Unacknowledged, is going to come out. And I just found out just today they put out a trailer, Unacknowledged Sneak Peek Eyewitness Testimony. You can sign up for tickets on for April 24th is when this is going to come out. And so if you want to see more about what Stephen Greer has to offer us, then we can do that, you know. So the next step is some of these things I've been following, you know, you hear these stories about, you know, UFOs that appear over our military bases, and, you know, they'll go to open the missile launch and try to get them, or maybe there's a war starting somewhere else. I don't know, but these things can remotely hack our systems and just shut them down. We can't shoot a missile. And gee whiz, didn't that just happen to Kim Jong Un? You know, his blew up on the pad. Well, now we know that. We're pretty sure that we did that, and I've got the documentation for that also on MadScientist.exposed. So we're shutting down Kim Jong-un the way the aliens are keeping us from destroying ourselves with the nuclear weapons. We'll see what, you know, how it really plays out. It'd be nice if we didn't destroy ourselves. But the goal of the mad scientists at the top, the elites that look down on us lowly cattle, you know, that they want to vaccinate our babies to death. I really think that they are answering to Satan, who's masquerading as an alien. And you can tell the real aliens apparently from the false aliens, from the our own people and the evil demons. It's because number one, aliens need craft to fly in, and demons don't. The other thing is, though, if there's something in a craft doing evil, like cattle mutilations, or abducting people and torturing them, then that's our own people. That's our own human beings in these crafts. And the point is to gin up fear so that when they come and tell us finally, okay, we've had the biggest wars we could ever have on the Earth, and so now we're going to hoax the aliens attacking the Earth. So we all, you know, get behind the New World Order, and, you know, we'll live with our death panels if you just keep the aliens away. You know, and the whole point is, they do want to reduce the Earth. They've published it. They've carved it in stone, in the Georgia Guidestones. And I hope you can follow me through all these chains, you know, all these dots I'm connecting. But on the Georgia Guidestones, they want to reduce the Earth's population to a mere 500 million. That's over 90% gone of what we already, what we currently have. What do we have, like 7 billion, something like that? They cut it down to 500 million. That's over 90% that they want to eliminate from the Earth. And number one, you know, I was thinking, okay, they just want to be self-destructive. They just want to answer to Satan. They just want to get off on power. Or, you know, so other people say, oh, no, they just want some slaves, you know, the rest of the robots, and they just want a few human slaves around. I don't think that's it. I think that Satan impersonating these aliens has told them, well, you have to get control of your population. You can't be warlike or we won't let you out into space. And, you know, so they figure if they get rid of all of us, they will be the few that benefit and go out into space. And that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, I've covered this before in the past where they're putting up a satellite nation up into space with it's going to have UN recognition that the first thing it's going to do is keep the rest of us from launching off the planet. They're going to weaponize it. And, you know,
they're going to let all these private corporations put on. It's not going to happen. So they're going to launch this really soon. They're all coming up really, really. Our people are giving up waiting for the government to go back to the moon, and we're just going to go off into space. And it's not going to happen. There's going to be a war about us. And then, I have a documentary here, too, that we didn't go back to the moon, was it 40 years now, close to 40 years, because it was occupied. So they told us to go home, and we did, like the little humans. There was our stinking moon. Anyway.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers! From LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring. throughout the land.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hi, and I'd like to apologize. My phone had fallen off the connection there, so you might have had a minute or two of silence before I realized it. And anyway, so to recap, there's a lot of things going on in the news where they're trying to make us aware of UFOs. They're trying to make us afraid of UFOs. They have this whole system set up with the money and the diseases and the vaccines and the autoimmune diseases and the cancers. You know, the wars. The whole idea is there are some elites, self-aggrandizing elites at the top who want to reduce the population of the rest of the world because they think they're going to inherit the universe, and nothing could be further from the truth. So please do give us a call if you would like to participate. The number is, and I just played it for you, it's 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. And my friend Ed with his book is still on the line here. And I was wondering if you have anything to add to the conversation.
Well, maybe hi. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure. The audio seemed to be scrambled there for a little bit. Well, I've been watching a lot of the same shows that you have. And
yeah.
Some of the claims seem to be a little bit, wow. I mean, it's just, hey, if a tenth of this stuff is true, then,
yeah.
Well, at the very least, we are not alone. We are not alone in the universe. I mean, what was it, the thing that we were watching the other night where the guy said, somebody who said that there were at least four, at first he thought that after he did some research into the alien species that are, visiting Earth, they thought there were like four species, right? Like the tall grays, or was it the tall whites, or whatever. And he said, no, now he thinks it's closer to 80 different species. I guess that they think of this as kind of like maybe a really interesting world to observe and see all kinds of life and stuff, you know? Maybe we were the origin of life or part of the universe, and anciently,
I have a guess as to why they're here. We're very interesting. Because, you know, we're a large, you know, technical civilization, but we're oblivious to life elsewhere in the universe.
The
universe is so big.
But we're not very bright.
Like, we're
not very bright, you know?
I'd say we're bright, but a lot of our people are evil. And what's going on. And so, Jesus tells the parable of for the farmer who planted the seed, so that would be God, you know, planting, you know, people on the earth. And then the enemy came and he planted a lot of weeds in order to choke out the crop. And, you know, the farmhand said, well, let's go pull up the weeds. He goes, no, you might disturb the good crop. And so we got to wait till they both mature, and then I'll harvest them all at once. And so, you know, that seems to be
terrible.
Where it's going. We're getting choked out with evil. And, you know, if we're getting so choked out with evil, that means that our own good crop is coming due and the farmer's coming back. to claim his harvest. That's what I think is going
on.
Now, even beyond these aliens and the human ships that are impersonating them that are going to weaponize and shoot up the seas or whatever they're going to do, I think even beyond that, when they fail to destroy humanity, beyond that, there is some stuff going on in the solar system on some of these other science channels that have nothing to do with UFOs, but there are magnetic storms going on, and there's this big helium cloud, and there's debate as to where the helium cloud is coming from. Is it Nibiru? Is it Jupiter? Whatever. But we're getting solar wind from two different directions, and they're causing these magnetic storms that are feeding energy into the core of the Earth, causing all these new earthquakes and volcanoes that are bigger, you know, more numerous than we've had in many, many, many thousands of years. And so, yeah, I think there's something going on. There's going to be some big disasters, and, you know, but God is God. If he's going to come take his harvest, then he's going to come take his harvest.
Stephen Greer and several other people who were in the know about this, don't they say that these are mostly beneficial aliens, that these aliens supposedly like us and they're
his
on our
contention
side and
is,
stuff like that?
Stephen Greer's contention is that the aliens, they're on the side of good and benevolence, because if they were malevolent, like our own New World Order elite, they would have destroyed themselves before getting here, because with every step in science, you get the good stuff, and every step you can weaponize. And so vaccines started out maybe as a good idea, pre-exposed people to cowpox so they wouldn't get smallpox or whatever it was 300 years ago. But now it's obsolete. Mm-hmm. Now they're aggressively using vaccines to kill people, you know, by putting all these extra ingredients in them, all
these
aluminums and these mercuries. Huh?
So you're saying that if the alien civilizations were themselves evil in the same way, they could not progress to a point of going through space, you know, to visiting other civilizations without having destroyed themselves the same way that we're always on the edge of destroying
ourselves.
That's
why we're so interesting to them. We're right at that point. We're either going to completely destroy ourselves, or the destroyers will destroy themselves, you know, or God will come back and sort it out, which that's
what
the Christian religion is about.
What about the idea that the aliens may manifest their powers and stop a war? Do you remember that we saw something months ago, maybe it was Steve Greer, about a missile, a launch pad for missiles, and they couldn't open the blast doors because the aliens had evidently jammed them or something like that?
Yes.
And so, in other words, that they could suppress, that the aliens have the ability, if they want to suppress anybody shooting missiles at anybody. And that might be actually what saved us
from
ourselves.
Yeah, they can keep us from
destroying
ourselves. But that's not, but the universe is about free will.
They're not going to allow free will to destroy the planet Earth. I think that they're going to
think God is going to allow the evil to destroy everything on the earth either. Or, you know, there's the scriptures about the new heavens and the new earth that he'll just fix it. I don't know.
Well, maybe
they're
part of that.
Maybe they're
part of that wonderful future. Maybe they're part of a wonderful future. Maybe they are part of a wonderful future that we have in store for us. That'll be the 1,000 years of peace or something like that. Who knows?
That's what I think is going to happen. I have this theory, and, you know, Christians pray, you know, our Father who art in heaven, and on earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven is off the earth, and everything is perfect over there, but nothing's perfect here, but we're working on making it perfect, except we have enemies who are trying to destroy it all. But, you know, the ones who get out into space, that by then their science is so far advanced, they would have destroyed themselves if they had allowed evil to dominate their species.
And so they don't have nearly that much evil.
They managed to weed out the evil.
They
managed to weed out the evil,
They would want us to persist as a species. They would want us to continue sharing the earth with other life forms and whatever. I don't think they would want us to be destroyed.
And maybe they like our... who knows if they have music and art and all that kind of stuff? I mean, there's a lot of good stuff
like
we can exchange.
They might. I don't know. Some very strange people. I've seen some very strange people in art galleries and in music events. And maybe the strange guy that's sitting in the back room wearing sunglasses at night in a music event is actually an alien, and he just wants to listen to the jam.
I never thought of that. This guy, what's his name? The former defense minister of Canada, Heller.
Yeah.
He says that there are some species that look enough human that they can pass, unnoticed in a crowd.
Yeah.
That's what he said. So they would have to come to a planet similar to ours. Huh?
Did you say he's the former defense minister of Canada?
Of Canada, yeah. Yeah.
And you
he's
know what?
The one that they
for
asked about
who,
when
for,
Reddit
for
got
him?
Banned. I mean, when, I'm sorry?
Yeah. Well, I'm just amazed. I'm thinking, here's somebody who got to that position of being a defense minister for a whole big country like Canada. He must have his ducks in a row. He must know an awful lot. He must be, in many ways, a very smart guy, a smart cookie. And he says what?
Yeah.
He says that there are these aliens and they're doing what?
When that they've been visiting the Earth, he says that there are a lot of different species. And I think, really, there would have to be many, many thousands, billions of species because the universe is so big. But he says the ones that are visiting the Earth, the ones that he's aware of, about 80-something species. The rest of them might be just out in space just kind of watching us. And they have photographs of big UFOs orbiting Saturn and stuff like that. But,
they're working on the rings, aren't they?
There are some that are so that look so much like people that they can pass for human people in our crowd. So it could be that if you saw some weird guy sitting in on a jam session, he could have been an alien. But there's enough weirdos among human beings that I don't think it has to be that way.
Well, and Andy Warhol could have been an alien. I mean, look at the guy, pale and strange hair and everything like that, and took weird.
I actually don't know what he looked like.
Strange friends.
All I remember is his Campbell
what,
Coop
Andy
thing.
Warhol? Oh no, there's lots of pictures of Andy Warhol. And you know why he could be an alien? Because things that are so everyday and ordinary to us, like Campbell's soup cans, he would paint, like an oil painting of a Campbell's soup can. Now, who would do that?
Well, there's a lot of people.
Alien,
Oh, come on, that's funny. I don't know. There's people with different perspectives on things. Huh.
Yeah. There's a movie I've been trying to find and I can't find it. Well, I guess I could find it if I want to pay $2.95 for a night. It's called The Brother Who Fell to Earth, I think. No. The Brother from Another Planet? Is that it? The Brother from Another Planet.
I think The Man Who Fell to Earth was...
No, The Man Who Fell to Earth was David Bowie. And that was a great David Bowie movie. And that was very... he comes up with these inventions. Like this... Do you remember the ball thing that used to be on a Selectric typewriter that you could remove and you could change it? You go from a loop type to, courier or whatever. Well, anyway, he invented some kind of ball like that, or he took it with him from whatever planet it was, and it revolutionized the music industry on Earth. He became a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. So that's what he did, is he took some of his inventions that had come from this other planet, and he just introduced them to the world, and he immediately became a multi-billionaire. We should
look
to see if there's
anybody
like
that. Is that the plot of The Man Who Fell to Earth? Is that the plot of that movie?
That is the major plot. That's what happens in The Man Who Fell to Earth. Yeah, David Bowie. It was a movie from probably the 1970s, and it was my first experience with seeing David Bowie anywhere. And then the other one was The Brother from Another Planet, something like that. And what that was is this just kind of this ordinary black guy, like in his 20s or whatever, who climbs out of the water from the East River or whatever, and he's like from another world, and he walks into this bar, and he never says a word. He never says a word, but this all-black bar, and, the people think he's a little weird and everything like that. But it happens that when a slot machine, not a slot machine, a pinball machine, I guess it was a pinball machine or some kind of arcade machine, isn't working, and it's like, oh, man, that machine broke down again. God bless it. Well, anyway, he just comes over, and he puts his hand on the side of the pinball machine, and he kind of moves his fingers around a little bit, and he cures or fixes the pinball machine. And so everybody looks at, hey, man, this guy, this
whereas
the
fun just whacks
yeah,
out,
you
right?
should keep him. So they hire him, you know? Yeah. But eventually I think the plot twists because there's some characters that show up from the planet he came from. Of course, they chase him around and everything. And I forget how the movie ends, but it was a very interesting, worthwhile movie for Harlem. You know, if you see aliens landing in Harlem, that's a very good movie. But he's a very mellow, cool cat. Never says a word, I think, and always behaves himself.
Wow.
But it's just he's amazed at how the Earthlings are carrying on. So that's a good alien movie. I don't know which I'd rather.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather see that one than the David Bowie movie. The David Bowie movie was a little too humorless. It took itself a little too seriously.
There's really?
Some kind of weird romance in the middle of it.
I've never seen either one of them.
Oh, but, yeah. That might be worth paying $2, $2.95 for one night and seeing it on one of the services, you know, the Amazon or whatever. I think so. Why not?
It sounds good.
Yeah.
What I started to say before is what?
Yeah.
What I started to say before.
That's still, yeah. Go on.
All right. Well, finish what you were saying, because.
No, that just leaves, that still leaves us with more than 80 races of aliens, according to a guy who was the defense minister of Canada, who ought to know a thing or two. I don't think the defense minister of Canada would be crazy, you know, or deluded. I mean, he must know something. He must know quite a bit. He's saying there's 80, you know, races of aliens visiting Earth. That might even be a low estimate, because I think this place must be like paradise. This is a main vacation spot for these guys, you know? They want to come here.
Yeah.
They want to see what's going on.
Wow,
that's why I mentioned the movie, The Brother Who Fell to Earth. The brother who came to from outer space or whatever it was, because that was one example of an alien coming to visit. In this case, he visited Harlem, but you know, who knows? They might visit Mar-a-Lago.
Wow,
and
just for
Disneyland.
Just for asking about that Canadian minister, the guy at Collective Evolution got banned for life from Reddit. Just for asking about it. It's just it's like they want to drip feed us the script. And they don't want us to deviate from the script. You know, I remember when I was really little, you know, I was just going into first grade, and I didn't know how to read yet. I knew my alphabet. But somehow I got the idea that I wasn't supposed to learn how to read until I got to first grade. And other kids get that idea, too, where, you know, and you have this equal outcome, whatever they call it in the schools. You can't have one kid advancing ahead of the other kid. You know, everybody's supposed to march to the same tune. And there were kids that got in trouble for learning to read too fast, you know. And they were considered uppity. So now they just drug them all into submission with the Ritalin, you know. So,
just drug them
all. So if we have another caller, if you'd like to join, you press 1. Otherwise, I'll just leave you alone so you can listen happily. But I don't get a signal unless you dial 1. So, or if you intended to dial 1, and for other callers too, the number is 319-527-6208, 319-527-6208, because we're having some fun here. And thank you.
Suzanne, if they're not joining in for the moment,
our
can I tell you something that I thought of? Oh, they are? Okay,
well,
good.
Well, yeah, tell us, and our friend will join us too.
Okay.
So, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
You hear me? Okay, you can
hear me.
Yes,
I can hear you.
Yeah, it was getting pretty interesting. I just wanted to talk about a book that I borrowed, and I wasn't able to finish it. I gave it back, but I'm going to buy it. And it was Pale Blue Dot from Carl Sagan. You guys familiar with that one?
Pale Blue Dot. Cool.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow, I've heard of him, but not that book. Wow.
It's a really big book. There's a lot of pages, but he gets really deep into, basically, he deconstructs reality in that book, and it's, I thought I was pretty smart until I read that book. It's like,
I've never heard of that.
I think it should be in high school curriculum, I think, because There's a lot of it questions reality that people think they know.
Wow. Oh, it's, hey, there's a single edition for only $12.
A Vision of the Human Future in Space. Nonfiction, Sagan's analysis of the role space will play in humanity's future. It was written in 1994. Now, is that, it says, the pale blue dot is a photograph of planet Earth taken on February 14, 1990 by the Voyager 1 space probe from a record distance of about 6 billion kilometers. Is that, was that what the book was named after?
Yeah,
the pale blue dot in space.
I think it was the name of the photo, the name that was given to the photo.
Ah,
that,
cool.
But if you get into the book, it is I guess the title means really nothing. It's it's almost like some of the most profound people throughout history. He quotes all kinds of people, and I
wow.
just quoted I put a quote on Twitter to a. What was his name? Tom Nelson, I think. He's always putting climate stuff on there. And I think he was talking about something going on with the news. And I put a quote from that book in there. And I put in quotations that's the book it came from. And he actually retweeted the entire page. He liked mine. And then he went back and tweeted the entire page that it came from.
What was his name?
Well, I think it was it Tom Nelson? I don't know. I have a couple of people on there that I had noticed. They always post things.
Is he a scientist or a journalist, or what is he?
It seems like he questions a lot of the scientists on global warming and things like that. So I think I followed him because of one thing, and I don't really know who it is.
Okay, a world-leading publisher of Christian content that strives to inspire the world with. I don't know if that would be him.
Yeah,
how long ago did you
post
this?
It was I think a couple days ago, day before yesterday, maybe.
Okay, can I ask your Twitter handle?
Yeah, Ben K. Faridis.
Faridis? F-A-R?
Yeah. F-E-R-I-T-A-S.
Faridis.
Yeah. An underscore.
By the way, I'm looking at this.
Sorry.
By the way, while you guys are pausing there, I'm seeing that Earth's apparent size on this is less than a pixel. Can you imagine that? It's a tiny, tiny dot against the vastness of space. But what's weird is these bands of sunlight that are scattered by the camera's optics. So you've got these brown and yellow, blue and green bands of sunlight. And you can just barely
you can get it for a very
sun.
Good
just
price on Amazon.
Yeah,
for a really good price.
I think every house should have that book. I mean, there's something for everybody. I think especially college kids nowadays, they need as much deconstruction of what they think they know as possible.
Oh, man, don't I know it. I've got one who refuses to go to college because she knows they do mind manipulation. I have got one that has pretty well swallowed it all and doesn't realize it came from his professors, and one that's just going to be going into it soon. So. Yeah, we have these discussions, and they're like, "Mom, you're, you know, you should be more angry on your show." And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to be angry on my show. I know there's a lot of evil going on, but you know, that's why I do my show is to expose it. But I don't have to be angry." You know?
Right.
Wow.
People don't want to hear anger and stuff. Hmm.
Well, Alex Jones has enough anger for all of us.
Anger is what it seems to be when someone gets angry and offensive. It seems like that's the point when the argument is already over. If there is any kind of argument and somebody, emotions.
Like,
emotions have no place in dialogue if you're trying to prove who's right.
Well, I have. I know a lot of people really like Judge Jeanine on Fox News. But I just call her anger porn because she doesn't call for a resolution of anything. You know, if somebody's committed a crime. She hasn't called for their prosecution. The one time she did was, well over a year ago now, Fox News stuffed a sock in her mouth, and she never did again. She wanted somebody, I think, I don't know if she wanted Obama impeached or Hillary prosecuted her. I forget what it was. She actually called for action to solve what she was complaining about, and they stuffed a sock in her mouth faster than you could spin. She never said anything like that again. So it's all just finger porn, and so I can't stand to watch her.
Yeah,
I would rather solve something than be angry about it and just stew all the time.
She's kind of a pit bull.
No.
Yeah.
She's a yapper. She's just a chihuahua, just yapping. A pit bull would actually solve something.
She's an attack chihuahua. An attack chihuahua, yeah.
She just barks and barks and barks and barks and barks.
Well, there's a lot of weird things going on. It's like, it's not just nationwide. It seems like Canada is having serious problems at their universities, and so are we.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like ever since this year with Trump, I think all the universities kind of are in cahoots. They're trying to throw as much sticks in the spokes as they can right now. And people believe it. All the youngsters. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the Antifa people.
Well, they're actually paid.
They're actually paid.
Oh.
Yeah, $15 an hour. I mean,
I don't know. My kids, my son and his girlfriend, they were actually, this long before Trump was elected, I overheard them speaking how communism wasn't such a bad thing. And I'm like, that's a total slave economy. That's not a good thing at all. Oh, no, if you just take the corruption out of it. I'm like, you can't do that. That's human nature. It's like corruption flows to the top. And so they're naive enough to think it can be cleaned up. She's like, no, communism can't be cleaned up. It's designed to be corrupt. It's designed to be that way. You know, just like Obamacare was designed to be that way.
I like listening to Jordan Peterson talk about communism. He says there's people that give examples of communism and how it was bad is because it had the wrong person at the top. If I was in charge, I'd do it right. He said those people
are
dangerous.
And everybody dies, and then the next bad guy comes along. Give me air, you know?
Right. Well, it seems like most of the people who even think about communism are not religious, actually anti-religion.
Yeah, they're
telling
that in school, too. Yeah.
It basically becomes the religion. If there's so many people shutting other people down because of religion, that's basically what their religion is anti.
Yeah.
And that's...
Then you can't believe that there's such a thing as a mad scientist, you know, because there's... Science is a two-edged sword. And, you know, when I saw the scientists on TV gloating about Ebola and how they were going to, you know, profit by developing these vaccines for Ebola, and they were, you know, this particular one was gleeful about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they really are mad scientists. There's no denying it, you know.
Right. Well, it seems like with communism, it's, I know it's a stretch to tie it to religion, but it seems like that was the plan that was not accepted. So if Satan came up with a plan, in the very beginning where there was two plans, Satan had his own plan, he wanted the glory, but you have no freedom, there's no free will.
Yeah.
So that's basically, you come down, you have to live this certain life, and you get to come back home because you had no choice. And that's how I kind of see the difference in economy or leadership. That's not for us.
Yeah, except that ultimately Satan wanted to destroy everybody, kill everybody. You know, just trick everybody into doing evil against each other and then everybody die. And just to destroy everything that the creative force created.
If you want to look at how socialism leads to communism, leads to total devastation, take a look at Venezuela and the fact that people don't have food, they don't have medicine. The leader, the great leader there, is turning the army against the citizens. We don't know how long that's going to work, you know, before the army turns against him.
So they're all dead. Well, he's already.
You know, these guys,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So eventually the enemy will turn. But I mean, anytime you meet a socialist who thinks there's some wonderful utopian society possible, say, well, what happened in Venezuela? Why is there all this pain and suffering going on there and people starving and everything like that? So it's the most socialist country in Latin America.
Well, that's because they don't have the correct dictator. They need a nice guy to be in charge of everything.
Well, maybe they should just put the Pope. Maybe the Pope could just take charge. Could Pope Francis just walk in?
No. I'm sorry, but I'm Catholic, and that Pope is a hater.
I wonder, you know, nobody talks about religion in Venezuela. What happened to the Catholic Church in Venezuela? Are they just going along with the government? A lot of times the Catholic Church just goes along with whatever's going on.
Goes along to
and
get
then everybody
along.
Everybody suffers. Yeah.
They think they're going to co-opt it or something
right.
Like the Saturnalia.
Well, there's a lot of countries that don't have the exact same First Amendment that we do. Ours is pretty specific on it's not our rights.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do, it's basically what the government can't do.
Yeah.
And people, those aren't privileges. Those are natural rights. And we understand that. And a lot of countries don't. They just go off of the majority or the law of the land, one or the other.
Fury by the mob.
Right. And if the mob happens to be the government, then you get places like Venezuela and North Korea. And we've been pretty lucky that China's been pretty cool to us, but it could go real bad if they wanted to.
Well, yeah, they've been buying up a lot of property and businesses and industries here in the U.S., so that the plan was to co-opt us all into a suddenly communist. We would just wake up one day in a communist country. And we weren't supposed to vote in Trump. We were supposed to wake up one day in a communist country. I mean, Hillary has already sold so much to the Chinese, it's disgusting, besides what she sold to the Russians and Bill and his – I remember when he stole the stealth fighter to the Chinese, the technology of the stealth fighter, and I never understood why he didn't go to prison over that. Never understood it. I mean, who cared about Monica Lewinsky, you know?
Right, and that's where a lot of people say the economy was good back then, but look what it's done to sell our top secrets. And then pretty soon we're obsolete because that was our secret, basically.
Yes. That was the plan, you know, with the Fed, you know, they make it boom during Democrat years and then they make it suck during Republican years. And eventually to suck all the wealth out of us, and then we'd all be paupers, and we would bow to the communists, you know, because, oh, give us a scrap of bread to eat, please, Mr. Communist Boss Man, you know.
Right.
A lot of people would rather starve, and, you know, and you have all these people with the garden movement now, growing their own gardens.
Well, I'm glad to see there's a handful of professors at colleges that are they're not going along with what they're supposed to. Like Jordan Peterson that I just mentioned, he's fighting back. They're trying to attack the English language because of this gender movement. And
oh, yeah.
Right.
You can't say mother anymore. You have to say pregnant person.
Right. That you can't assume any kind of gender. If it takes a pronoun, it's not supposed to be made unless the person actually tells you the pronoun that they like beforehand. Which, if you're a college professor, you don't have time to individually label everybody. And that's what he's fighting against. He says, "No, I'm not playing that game." And they've tried to get him defunded. He said this was the first year that they've ever tried to defund his grants, and people crowdfunded him. They crowdfunded him for this year and next year.
Wow.
Just people that like him.
That's wonderful. Unless, you know, the crowdfunding sites, though, they'll shut down on PC campaigns. They've done that before.
Yeah. Well, maybe he set up his own. I don't know. Was it Patreon? I don't know what that is, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, Patreon's real popular with YouTubers. You see a lot of them on there because YouTube just defunded all political, mostly on the right, because YouTube had a lot of conservative pundits on there. But there, even the liberal ones, the left ones, got defunded also because they just don't want any
really?
Political speech. We're all supposed to, I've seen some complaints from leftists on there. We're all supposed to go back to the bland oatmeal of the fairness doctrine days. That's what we're supposed to go back to.
No.
And I don't think so.
There's going to be some new venue. Some new venue is going to pop up. I don't know if it's going to be Vote, VOAT, or what, but it's not going to be Reddit.
Reddit
has banned a lot of stuff, too. Vimeo. Somebody's going to pop up as the place to go. And then maybe
there's a few competitors for Facebook and Twitter out there now too. And there's VidMe. The top video at VidMe now is everyone is pissed at VidMe. So I don't know. Maybe they're pulling in their ads on those too. Yeah. Well,
there was legislation passed on the internet. About the internet on the information. Did you guys pay attention to that? Was it last year? I don't remember, but it went through, and I think after that things started subtly kind of changing. Like someone was talking about, there was an IT guy that was doing an interview. And he was pretty high up and stuff. He had his own apps and stuff. But he said that YouTube changed their algorithm recently.
Yes.
Where, right. All of a sudden, if you look for, like, live news, if you want to know global, what's going on in the world right now at this minute, you'd have to be very specific on what you type in. And then the next video will be from 6 years ago. So it won't show you other things that are live. It'll bounce you all over the place to waste as much of your time as possible.
Everybody's going to just resort to their own websites. And that's what I hear some of, is it Mark Dice? Somebody recently was saying, everybody just needs to go back to bookmarks. Just bookmark your favorite sites and visit them and all that. And there are actually bookmarking websites that you can do that.
Yeah.
I like to use MyHQ.
Yeah.
Because the search engines are rigged, and all you can trust is your own bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I stopped going to Google search, and I've been going to DuckDuckGo, D-U-C-K, D-U-C-K,
yeah.
Go. And it says very prominently on there that they don't track, people and what they're looking at or anything like that. So I hope that's true.
They're not saying they're adjusting their algorithm. We don't really know what their algorithm is. But, yeah, I stopped with Google when they completely 100% delisted natural news for like a week in January. I mean, I knew they had an article particularly on vitamin D, and so if I searched up vitamin D site colon and specific site, naturalnews.com, I would get zero results. You never see zero results on Google. Zero, absolutely zero. And they really paid for it. And I've never gone back to them. I can't trust them now. If I want to look up some health-related thing, I don't know what they're suppressing, so I don't go to Google at all.
Yeah,
so,
it's because
for Google.
These deals can be made between one person to another rich person. I've seen them. I got to go to a pretty really nice posh hotel, and at the same time I was staying there was all these conventions going on. I mean, like 7-Eleven had their CEOs there, and Corona, and I think there was a couple airlines that had a convention at the same time, and it was just all these CEOs, people you never hear about, never know they exist, but that's where the deals are all made. At these nice resorts. That's
well,
not lucky to
I,
be there,
I think
but it
Bing
was
is probably
amazing.
Getting away with murder, flying under the radar with Google all in the news.
Yeah.
I can't prove it, but I suspect Bing is getting away with murder. I don't know.
Yep.
So we have another caller, but you don't have the little notice up. If you want to join the conversation, hit the 1 on your dialer, and then I'll know to bring you in. So anyway.
I wanted to ask a question about global sea rise or rising sea levels that a lot of people freak out about. I think we're at around 1.2 millimeter rise annual.
Oh, really?
And I think so.
I'm surprised
I think something like that.
Can I pipe in with some information? I saw two photographs that were made from a bluff overlooking this little bay in San Diego, California, this little cove. And one of the photographs was made in 2013, and the other photograph was made in 1884. Was that 129 years difference, something like that. But anyway, and it's the same tide. In other words, it's high tide of both pictures or whatever. There is absolutely no difference. You can look on the rocks and you can see, well, a few of the rocks have vanished. I mean, a few of the rocks have fallen into the sea, you know. But everything else you can tell is identical, and there is no sea rise that you can detect over, you know, like 1 1/3 centuries. Now that's San Diego, California, but I can't imagine that it'll be much different at a northern latitude or southern latitude or whatever. So my feeling after seeing those two photographs side by side is that a lot of the sea rise stuff is bogus. I might be wrong, but you know, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, well, I live near the Puget Sound, so I can see the tide go up and down. And sometimes I'm like, wow, that's crazy, because there's certain places where the road dips down, and it's basically looks like it's right on the water almost. But
and it's different than it was like what do you remember back to like 20 years ago or something, or how far back do you recall the road being different or the tide being different?
Well, I've only been up here for about 13 or 14 years, so it's been exactly the same. I know the tides, but you can predict those.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can buy the book for next year, this year. They already know. But
it's a lunar thing,
My question for the science was, so I work right on the water, and I get to see these big tanker ships go in and out all the time. I don't know, several times a day there will be loaded container ships and cruise ships go by, and I get to see the Navy go in and out, the carriers and stuff. And I was just thinking, how much water is being pushed down from the surface because of those giant ships? If you take that same container ship and pick it up out of the ocean and set it down in the lake, you know exactly what happened to the lake.
It also displaced some water, yeah.
All right, just simple water displacement. It doesn't mean that we are causing the global sea rise because we're adding water or the water's melting into the ocean. I mean, just think about it like pushing down on the surface. You multiply that ship by whatever it is, 500 that company owns, then there's several other companies. Plus
wow,
navies.
What an idea.
China's got the man-made islands. They're doing that in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. All these things put together, that's a lot of displaced water.
You know, that's really something there. Another stuff that's floating. Don't they have floating cities in some places in Asia and stuff? Floating cities on top of the water or that may be displacing some water?
I think Thailand has a lot of that, but that's one of the numbers that you can't, it's hard to actually do the math on that. I started trying to do the math just on one ship. I think I came up with an empty ship displaces like 55,000 long tons, and I started getting into the multi-millions in no time. It was almost too big for the calculator on my phone.
Wow.
Sure. He's got a new angle, Dan. That's a new angle.
Yeah. Well, some of these science channels, it's hard because, you know, I think, well, there might be global warming. It might not be in the atmosphere. I think it's in the core because of all these solar system magnetic storms that we've been having, you know, feeding in through our poles. But the other thing, now I just lost it. Some of these science websites that interpret science satellites, they've detected that the orbit of the moon has been changing. And the only thing that can account for it is that there is another planet or planetoid out there. It can be as close as 30 AU if it's about the size of the Earth. It can be as far out as 200 AU if it's a gaseous giant. Another one of supposedly NASA's secrets, you know. But that's the only thing that can account for the changes that they're seeing in the orbit of the moon, and that would affect the tides. And the tides, of course, is the rising and the falling of the water. So there's more here than I can calculate, and I think a fraction of a millimeter is not enough to worry about, or a fraction of a degree. You know? So I don't know.
Right. Right, but they're trying to predict. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, change the orbit of the moon slightly, make it more elongated, for example, and you would have extremes, wouldn't you? You'd have extreme high and low tides, neap tide, ebb tide, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
That's right. And I also had another angle that it's hard to do the math on, but just another way of, you know, our Earth has a certain speed that it rotates at, and that's because layers.
That changes, too, with some of the earthquakes. There's like a fraction of a second that it'll speed up or slow down. That's going on. Hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like a skater pulling your arms in.
Yeah.
You know, if you have
so what about it?
It can change the orbit. Yes.
I was wondering could change that by mining. Like, we've been, ever since we've known about metals, we've been digging for them, and we've created big, giant machines. We've got tunneling machines. We've got ways to mine, like, in a mass scale, and China's really got the market on that. But if you think about it, the most valuable things that we're always getting are the heaviest. So we'll dig down as far as it takes to get all of it. And we're looking for the heaviest stuff, gold, you know, a lot of the heavy metals are nuclear. But everything that we're after basically is super dense. And if you take that from one of the inside layers of the Earth or lower and bring it to the surface, is that going to
slow
us down?
Yeah, it should. I would think if we do enough of it. And then we bomb the chains back down to collapse like we did in Afghanistan, and we speed it up again.
Right.
So, It could be. It could just be more than we can measure, or smaller than we can measure. I don't know.
I mean, look at how much it's available.
Yeah.
What's up?
So, Carl, you're up in the Puget Sound area, like right off of Seattle someplace, I guess, huh?
Yep, I'm right across from Seattle. I can see Seattle from where I work.
I hope you're in a safe place, because there's two things. There's a Geiger counter, right? And also make sure you check your fish for, you know, like they hope they don't glow in the dark, you know, from Puget Sound, I guess. And then the other thing is those big earthquakes. Are you safely above the high water line? Are you safely away from, you know, just in case there's a 9.0 quake up there?
Probably not. A 9.0 would probably submerge us. I think we're only at about 200 feet elevation, if that.
So I have to apologize, but we've run to the end of the show, and I sure hope you call back next week. I have to sign off. I'm really sorry, because we have the next show coming up, Proof Negative. And everybody have a great week, and join us.
Thank you.